Well, good morning. He is risen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will what? Rejoice and be glad in it. We're so grateful, so thankful to be in the house of the Lord today. We're so thankful that you are here and to come together. We appreciate all those who, if you missed it, you missed it. Breakfast this morning, and appreciate all those who helped out, lend a helping hand, and it was a wonderful time of fellowship. Great scrambled eggs, delicious pancakes, and even wonderful little favors. I have one in my pocket. It's got a rock on it. Yeah, a stone. And it says, let this stone remind you that the tomb is empty. Isn't that great? Good news. We have good news. Well, this morning, as we are thinking about this wonderful day that is central to the Christian faith, it is so important. You know, the Apostle Paul said that if Jesus didn't rise again from the dead, our faith would be in vain. But the good news is, guess what? Hang on to your seats. Are you ready? Jesus did rise again from the dead, and he is alive. In fact, he appeared to his disciples as they gathered together on the day of ascension in Acts chapter 1, and he ascended up to heaven, and angels came, and they spoke to those disciples. It always amazed me about that passage, because the disciples are gazing up in heaven. And the angels had to capture their attention and say, hey, this same Jesus who is caught up in like manner will return the same way. The good news is Jesus, who is alive, who defeated death and hell, is coming again. And he's coming again for all who believe in him. That's good news. What a hope. What a truth. What a reality. Well, this morning we want to look in Scripture this morning at Matthew. And if you have your Bibles, invite you to take them and turn with me there. We are going to look together at Matthew chapter 28, the last chapter in Matthew, but just the first 10 verses. We'll refer to the other gospel accounts. If you're a student of the Word, you know that the resurrection story appears in all the gospels, in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, and John. We're grateful for what we receive from the Word of God to know more about the Lord and understand who he is and the power of his resurrection. God, who is all-powerful, he gives life, everlasting life, to those who believe, who put their faith in Christ. Christ promises that everyone who lives and believes in him shall never die. The resurrection not only happened for Jesus Christ, but Jesus offers his resurrection power to all who believe in him. You remember that old saying, seeing is believing? Or maybe you're from Missouri, or as I was told, Missouri. Okay. And you know, that's known as the, some of you know, that's known as the show me state. You know, I was like, okay, prove it to me, show me. All right, here it is, seeing is believing. Okay. And we sometimes in our human nature, in our humanity, we want that. We want to see it, to believe it. Does that remind you of a certain disciple? We blame him for a lot of things. We blame him for doubts, don't we? He's known as Doubting Thomas. And in John chapter 20, we'll get to Matthew 28, but in John chapter 20, Jesus has already risen from the dead. He's already appeared to Mary. He's already appeared to some of the disciples, but Thomas wasn't there, and Thomas kind of was like, maybe he was from Missouri, I don't know. He said, unless I see him, I will not believe that he's alive. Show me. Prove it. It says in verse 26, after 8 days, the disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and behold my hands, and reach your hand here and thrust it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and have believed. A lot of times we want to beat Thomas up for not believing. But the beautiful truth of the matter is the Lord Jesus appeared to him and showed grace and even said, Thomas, come here, look, and feel and see. And Thomas responded in worship, my Lord and my God. Some of us are there, maybe there today. Maybe we've made that commitment to Christ at an early age. We've heard the stories, we've read the gospel accounts, we've seen the pictures that artists have depicted over the years of what it might have been like. And yet somehow our hearts have grown cold or numb or warm to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that those who believe in Jesus receive the Holy Spirit of God within them. God's Spirit dwells within you if you said, yes, I believe in Jesus. There's something wonderful about that. There's something beautiful about that. There's something life-changing about that, and there's something powerful about that. This same power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead, that same Spirit lives with you, in you, O child of God. It's a reality. It's a truth. And it's what the Lord wants us to be reminded of, to experience the resurrection power. More blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Experiencing the resurrection of Jesus Christ requires only one decision as one reflects upon the biblical accounts, as one relies upon the documental proofs, as one responds to the historical evidence before them. The decision that you and I must make in order to experience the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a blind faith. This is not a faith based on wishing he was alive. This is not a hocus-pocus faith. This is not, if I believe it, I can achieve it faith. No, faith in Jesus Christ is believing not only the works of Christ, not only the teachings of Christ, but believing in the person of Jesus Christ. He is who he says he is. He is who he claims to be. He is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Anointed One, the Messiah, who came and to seek and to save the lost, to rescue the perishing, to bring salvation to all who believe on his name. He is the coming King who will return to reunite himself with his bride, the church. This Jesus Christ is the one who came, born of a virgin in a lowly manger, grew in wisdom with God and man, performed miracles, who was crucified, buried, and rose up from the grave. This Jesus Christ is the one who appeared to Mary, to the disciples, to doubting Thomas, to others. And he is the one who ascended to heaven, and the angels declared to his disciples that this Jesus would return in like manner. And the question that we all must ask and answer is this: do I believe in Jesus Christ? Do I believe in Jesus If yes, then I will embrace him and all the truth about him. And I'll discover that this same Jesus who gave his Spirit to his disciples, gave his Spirit at Pentecost, gives his Holy Spirit to all who believe. His Spirit inside, dwelling, living, filling every child of God. His Spirit allowing you and I to love those we'd rather hate. To have joy, to experience peace, to be gentle, to practice patience, to be kind, to be good and faithful, to exhibit self-control. This Spirit of God that resides in every believer is the same Holy Spirit that resurrected Christ and left the tomb empty. To experience the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is to believe in Jesus Christ. Even as the Apostle Paul says, I want to know him. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Now, some scholars look at that verse and they say Paul was saying that he wanted to know Christ so much that he was even willing to be crucified, to die like Jesus. He wanted to be like Jesus, that I may know him every day intimately, to be more like Jesus. Paul wanted the life of Christ to be reproduced in his life. Is that your desire? Sometimes we come to God and we say, God, I need you to straighten out this problem and this issue and this problem and this issue. And God, I worry about this problem and this issue and this problem, and if you take care of all that, man, I'll do whatever you want. I remember as a kid, Lord, if you help me pass my biology test, I'll serve you forever. Did you study? No. Did you look over the material? No. But if you let me get an A on that, I'll know that you're God and I believe in you and I'll just serve you forever. I didn't pass. I got a C. Or D, or whatever. God wants us to believe in him. Jesus came to seek and to save those who were lost. One commentator said it this way. He said, the power that raised the Lord from the dead is set forth in Scripture as the greatest display of might which the universe has ever seen. It would seem as if all the hosts of evil were determined to keep his body in the tomb. God's mighty power defeated this infernal army by raising the Lord Jesus from the dead on the third day. This same power is placed at the disposal of all believers, Ephesians 1:19, to be appropriated by faith. Paul is stating his ambition to experience this power in his life and testimony. And he does so and he says, I want to press on. I want to press on. I want to take hold of that which the Lord has taken hold of me. I want to press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Our response is to believe, but that's not enough. That is really not enough. We have to pursue him. We have to pursue him, to run after him, to press on. The psalmist says, I run in the path of your commands, for you have broadened my understanding to press on, straining ahead to run after you, God. I'm running after you. I'm energized by your Holy Spirit. I want to understand your word more. I'm running after you. I'm in pursuit of knowing Jesus, my Savior. I want his resurrection power to flow in me and through me and spill out all on others. I want to be like Christ. The Apostle Paul ran and pursued Jesus in that way. His relationship with Jesus mattered most, and he proclaimed the news passionately to others so much everywhere he went. He caused, as us Southern folks would say, the Apostle Paul caused a ruckus, didn't he? He did, because he wanted to know Jesus. And this is where we come back to the resurrection. in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. Let's notice. It says, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." And then we know the words that Jesus spoke when he said to Mary, he said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." A.W. Tozer says this pursuit of God, it's like a paradox. He says to have found God and still to pursue him is the soul's paradox of love. In other words, when you discover the beauty of Christ, the passion of Christ, the power of Christ in your intimate relationship with him, you want to know him more. You want to grow deeper in the Lord. You want to pursue him. You want to be like him. Why? Because Jesus not only gives you the promise of eternal life, but he sets you free. He sets you free from the power of sin and death. He sets you free. He cleans you up. He forgives your sin. He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Every bad thought, every bad motive, from the things of this world that we love, that John says, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world," the pride of life, the Lord can set you free from that. The lust of the flesh, the Lord can set you free from that. The boasting of what man says and what he does, the Lord can set you free from that. When we come to Christ, we want to know him more. Lee Strobel, in his pursuit of wanting to find out if Jesus really is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, as you know, he was a news reporter, and he took a journalist's approach to it and wrote several books regarding that. In this one book, Case for Christ, he goes and visits Edwin Yamachi, who is a professor at Miami University in Ohio, historical research, and he asks him all these questions about the evidence of the resurrection. And the final concluding thoughts stated here, this is what he said. Professor Yamachi said, "For me, the historical evidence has reinforced my commitment to Jesus Christ as the Son of God who loves us and died for us and was raised from the dead. It is that simple." That simple. As I look at the resurrection passage this morning in Matthew, the first thing I notice is that these ladies, these women who were followers of Jesus, were preparing to see Jesus. They were preparing to see Jesus. Now, they had watched him. They had listened to his teaching. They saw his miracles. They saw the miraculous work they did in their own life, setting them free from demon possession and so forth. And they watched him crucified on the cross. the Son of God, the Messiah, the Anointed One, known as the King of Jews. They saw his body be taken down, given to Joseph of Arimathea, and placed in the tomb. And because of the Sabbath and all the regulations, were not able to prepare the body. And so they were coming, looking for Jesus. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. The NIV says they went to look. They went to look, to see. There are many people today who are experiencing life. They're going here, they're going there. They're going, waking up in the morning, doing their work through the day, playing on the weekends, whatever they're pursuing, but they're not looking for Jesus. They're not wanting to see him. There are believers who have looked for Jesus, who have saw him, and yet the things in this world have kind of come up, like the parable says, and choked out the life of them. And they've kind of lost glimpse of who he is. The ladies here were looking to Jesus. They were preparing to see him. And they had brought spices to finish the anointing of his body, preparing it for burial. One theologian says that at least two of the women here, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, watched from the beginnings the preparation, and then they came. And they came, and Mark tells us at the conclusion of the Sabbath, the women disciples went to purchase materials for anointing Jesus' body. And then they went, and before the Sabbath, to gather the burial elements. And it says there, if you study that, that men in Jewish tradition could anoint bodies as well as women, but men were not allowed to prepare the burial of women bodies. So the women were going. I don't know why the disciples were not going with him at this time, but the women were going. They courageously witnessed his crucifixion and burial, and they were going. Other gospel accounts tell us that there were more than just Mary Magdalene and Mary, but we know these women were followers of Jesus, and they were going. They were going to see him. Now, it's interesting in this day and age in our culture. Oh, you're going there. Yeah, I am. Take a step. There is something that is in our society today about the role of women, the equalization of women. And yet, when I look at the resurrection story, what do I notice? Who goes to see the tomb early in the morning? If you study historical biblical accounts, women were not recognized as equals during Christ's day. They didn't have status or power or freedom. But to Jesus, guess what? To Jesus, he recognized women. And he recognized men. Both made in the image and the likeness of God. God was working, and he was going to show something spectacular to these women as they were preparing to see Jesus. And I will challenge you, if you are preparing to see Jesus, God will show you something spectacular. Because God's announcements are far superior than what you and I expect. Think about how God works. We know that little poem that God works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. In verses 2 and 3 of Matthew, we see there was suddenly an earthquake that takes place, a severe earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled away the stone and sat on it. Verse 3, his appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. There was an announcement far superior than what we could expect. Now, the women were going to prepare to see Jesus. with their spices to finish the burial. They didn't expect an earthquake to happen at that time, but it did. Some theologians say, well, it was because the angels were descending from heaven to reveal and declare that Jesus was alive. It was not just coincidence. Some theologians even go as far as saying, well, when Jesus died on the cross, all the world grew dark and black. But when he rose again, all the world began to shout and declare, the Creator is alive. There was a great announcement, far superior, accompanied by lightning and light and an earthquake. And the angel of the Lord came down and rolled away the stone, and he sat on it. This stone was sealed. This stone was guarded by Roman officials. But the angel of the Lord blew it apart. Now you might say, well, why didn't Jesus kind of blow it apart? Why did he need the angel's help? Well, the Lord didn't need the angel's help. The angel of the Lord removed the stone, not to keep Jesus in, but to allow the women and the soldiers and all to see that the tomb was empty. We see that God announcements will capture the attention of people everywhere, all people. The guards were there guarding, and they became like dead men because they were afraid of the angel. They became dead, guarding a dead man. The dead man came alive. One theologian says the appearance of a fiery angel often terrified people. When the guards see the angel, they are so afraid that they shake and become like dead men. Shake is the same verb as used for the earthquake at the crucifixion. They're becoming like dead men is the same expression used of John's reaction to his vision of the ascended Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. Perhaps they faint from the shock of the angelic visitation. Perhaps. These guards are battle-hardened veterans using to face fearful situations, but nothing has prepared them for this encounter. After the angel speaks to the women, the guards hurriedly go into the city to report to the chief priests what took place. And they knew that if something happened to that body, their lives would be on the line, and they would lose their life. And so they fabricate a story that is totally false. Then the angel does something. The angel begins to speak and speaks words of calmness to the women. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. Do not be afraid. God will capture our attention through spectacular ways, and it will affect everybody. It will grab their attention, but the angel declares, do not be afraid, to the followers of Jesus. Great comfort there. I also see that God has a purpose and a task for each of us, not only to believe in the resurrection, but to tell others about Jesus. Again, the angel begins to speak, do not be afraid, and I've got a word for you. He is not here, verse 6. He is not here, for he has been raised, just as he said. And then the angel said, come and see. Come and see where he lay. He's not here. It's empty. There's just his burial cloth. He is not here. I'm sure that the women were just overwhelmed and kind of maybe shocked and maybe surprised as they peeked in and as they looked, and they couldn't believe their eyes what was happening. And so they listened to what the angel said, that Jesus was raised. He was alive. And what did the angel want the ladies to do? To declare the good news of Jesus. Tell others about Jesus. Verse 7, then go quickly. Tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I've told you. Verse 8, so what did they do? They left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. That's great news. That is good news. That is wonderful news. Listen, I want to tell you something. I met someone, the Son of God, the Most High, and he came into my life and forgave me of all my sin, past, present and future. And he says to me that I'm going to have eternal life if I put my faith and trust in him, that I'm born again, that I'm a child of God, and that one day I will be with God Almighty, the creator of the world, the creator of the universe, forever and ever, with all of God's people, worshiping the Lamb of God who was slain and risen again, who is on the throne. Hallelujah. And he's offered that to me as an act of faith in him. Oh, wow. And I put my trust in him. And my life has never been the same. And guess what? He offers that for you. For you. And yes, for that ornery individual in your life whom you can't stand, who drives you absolutely bonkers, who you know they've been predestined to go to hell, and you wish that you could help them get there sooner. But God loves them just as much as he loves you. And he wants you to be his Mary, his messenger. He wants you to run from that empty tomb and say, hey, I want to tell you something. Jesus is alive. And because he is alive, I can live and you can live and be forgiven. Wow. She ran and told. Now, we know from the other gospel accounts that the disciples, they're men. I'm sorry, ladies, they're men. They didn't quite gravitate to it. I don't know. Believe it. But two of them got up, right? And we know it was John and Peter, and they had a foot race. They had a sprint. I'd have loved to have seen that. Wouldn't you have loved to have seen that? That race? Who won? Well, John said he kind of won. I don't know. They wanted to discover for themselves the truth that Jesus is alive. And because he lives, he wants us to tell others about him. He really does. He really does. I also see a proper response to the resurrection is praise and worship, because before the ladies left, Jesus appears to them and they fall at his feet and they worship him as the Son of God. Greetings, Jesus. They came to him and held onto his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. They will see me there. To experience the resurrection of Christ, we have to believe, have faith in him, who he is. We have to prepare our hearts to seek him, to allow God to grab our attention as only he can, to hear his word speaking to us, causing us to trust and obey, to fall down at his feet in worship and praise, to tell others everywhere that Jesus lives, that he is alive. Do you want to experience that kind of excitement, that kind of power, that kind of joy? Do you want to fall down before the Master's feet and worship him as God? Do you want to know him and eagerly want to know him and make him known? If your heart is willing, the Holy Spirit will give you the energy. He'll give you the ability to proclaim that Jesus is alive. And the beautiful truth is, because Jesus Christ is alive, those who know him will live forever with him eternally. So in Christ, all will be made alive. Have you experienced the resurrection power of Jesus Christ? Paul wrote to the Corinthians these words, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom of God to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power." Josh McDowell quoted George Hansen in his book on evidence for Christianity. And this is what he quoted George Hansen saying: "The simple faith of the Christian who believes in the resurrection is nothing compared to the credulity of the skeptic who will accept the wildest and most improbable romances rather than admit the plain witness of historical certainties. The difficulties of belief may be great. The absurdities of unbelief are greater." Do you want to experience the resurrection power of Jesus? Let Christ flood your heart and soul. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and pursue him passionately. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to our heart this morning. We thank you for the truth that we who are in Christ, who have come to know you, have new life, resurrection power within us. And Lord, we are mindful of others around us who do not know you, who have not experienced the freedom from sin and death. Some are looking to themselves for the answers. Some are looking to false religions for the answers. Some are looking to substances for the answer. Some are looking to different philosophies for the answer. But Lord, we know that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes unto the Father except through you. And so we ask, O Father God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead, will you quicken our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our bodies, and fill us with your Spirit, that we may declare your good news, like Mary, run from the tomb and share the good news, what you've done in our lives. What you've done in our lives, may we share the gospel with others around us. We thank you for what you are going to do. We thank you for the truth that Jesus lives. Hallelujah. And therefore, we have that hope that we live. And we praise you, we give you glory, and we thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' name, amen.